Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nine Lives, Season 2, Episode 8, with my friend. We're already giggling away. My friend Savannah is back. You're going to come on every season. I've just made that up. Savannah is back by popular demand. Everybody loved the last episode. Just wanted to say for last week, you know, thank you so much for the feedback on that episode. I had so many silent, in inverted commas, silent followers DM me after that episode. And I love seeing your stories and I love seeing your faces and putting faces to like listener numbers because this has blown up and exploded and I just like to know who you all are. So it's lovely. So thank you for that. So for those who haven't, who don't know Savannah, unreal if you don't, go look her up. But for people who didn't listen to our last episode as well, Savannah, I suppose you blew up from having a run streak. We touched on this on the last episode, but you're slowly coming toward your 1,000 day of running. Mm-hmm. When is that? That's coming up pretty soon, right?
It's in like 20 days.
Jeez.
Super soon.
Are you going to do anything for it?
I don't know. I'm going to be in LA and it's so funny. I'm in that phase of like, but like, would anyone even want to run with me? Like, should like make it a thing? Because I don't really know. But what I was thinking is because I'm not going to be in the UK and like the people that supported me, like I would, to, you know, if like you're around, I would love to do something with you. And like maybe just, I don't want to do an event. I want to do like a who wants to come run and have a picnic with me style thing. But for my 1,111th, like just for angel numbers, exactly. I might do a run in London as well, but I would love to do something in LA. Just think it might just be me just plodding around there.
I was going to ask you actually, because this is something I posted a story, we just spoke about it briefly, of me the other day running through France and just saying, you know, running has given me this sort of like comfortable, what did I say, lovely loneliness, how you're never really alone on a run because you have the voices of generations past and people you've lost and grieving and, you know, conversations to be had and, you know, you're never really alone on a run. But I prefer running alone.
Oh, me too.
Would you have your, because if I was to reach 1,000 days running, I think I'd do it alone. But also the community you've built is so important and lovely too. So it's finding that kind of balance between it's a moment for you and you share so much of yourself that obviously it's a moment for other people, but you got to kind of let yourself have that moment as well, you know?
It's weird to find the balance though, because I think we were talking about this as well. Like, I feel sometimes super left out and like I'm not including a lot of things. And I'm like, am I adding to this by then also being like, I'm doing this by myself to my community that I love so much and like want to spend so much time with and give myself to like a monumental part of my journey, saying that I want to do that alone. Is that really unreasonable? Because I do want to spend it with other people.
Yeah.
Then the minute I'm in front of other people, I just feel so overstimulated.
Same. I, yeah, this is why races and things for me are just a little bit difficult because I just, I really don't like crowds. But yeah, that kind of, that relationship with running and with yourself and with loneliness is something I've been exploring a lot because when I feel overwhelmed and when I feel sad, I tend to self-isolate. That's my first coping mechanism is like, well, get shut off. You know, I'm going to cancel this event. I'm going to go and I'm just going to run in the woods on my own. And it's really hard when you have those mechanisms in place to help you. But yet the job that we do and also life begins when you are with people and you're taking part in events. So it's a strange one because running is such a community thing now. And what do you do if you don't feel comfortable in community?
Which me and you don't. So there's no harm if you don't at all.
Yeah.
We love to be by ourselves.
Not everyone has to be part of a run club.
Or a race.
Or it's not a popularity contest as well.
No, 100%. Literally, we had the winter run 10K this weekend. I was so impressed by everyone that did it. Smashed their times, got PBs. For me personally, that is so overwhelming and overstimulating. And I would not enjoy that at all. For me, I'd love to just run 10K by myself through like a little bit of outdoor space, think through my thoughts, be alone. So yeah, I saw that and I was like almost grateful that I wasn't necessarily invited because I was like...
Especially like talking about speed and getting fast, which I've been trying to do recently. The number one thing that's helped me the most with getting fast has been basically just comparing myself to myself only ever. Because, right, I did a really fast 11K this morning. It was just under 11K in like whatever time it was, okay? Really fast for me. But I log in onto Instagram in my allocated half an hour. And I'll go on and I'll see someone's story that's like 18K in however long I ran that. And then immediately I'm like, mate, I'm not fast at all. But if you just remove that and you're just like, well, it's just me against me and only I matter in this journey.
Yeah.
The happiness you feel is unreal.
For sure. And like, I do think that there's strength in being like, you looking at that and feeling overwhelmed is your problem. That's yes. a you problem. That's yeah. that's something that, like, I know it's tough love and I know it's not good, but you need to get over yourself in that scenario. And I'm saying that as someone that does that myself. Like, I saw, again, people doing that for the winter 10K. I saw them smashing their 10K times and then posting their PBs and me feeling really overwhelmed. I've been running for this many days and I couldn't get that time. And then I had to take a step back and be like, whoa, like, let me celebrate what they're capable of doing. It's got no implication on what I'm able to do. And like something that's really, really helped me is I say this in my head all the time. Create, don't consume. And like whenever I see myself getting overwhelmed over someone's time, I'm like, it's fine, make a video of your runs. Don't fucking look at anyone else's times. Like, what are you doing consuming their content? If it makes you feel like shit, that's your prerogative to do so. Stop it.
Yeah. Like, it's having firm boundaries with yourself to create your happiness and your little bubble of life that you exist in. You kind of, in a way, get to curate positivity in your life if you choose to have those boundaries for yourself. And unfortunately in the world, there's just some negative energy. And I've just decided recently that it just doesn't exist. And I don't care how delusional that is. Good. It doesn't exist because I am not going to spend, I'm 30 years old now, and I spent so much of my life worried about what bullies think about me, worried about whatever. I'm not doing it anymore.
Fuck, yeah, no way. Create your own life. Yeah. Stop consuming others.
Well, that we went off on a tangent there. But to bring it back to your 1,000-day running, that is something I think what's amazing about that is looking at kind of like the commitment and accountability and promise you kept to yourself in that. And what's so interesting, and I see a lot in your comment section when I did a little deep dive earlier, is people are like, why do you run for so many days? Don't you get sick? Don't you get injured? The usual. But what's so interesting is you do, I mean, a mile, right? That could just be what it is in the day. But what has that 1,000 days of running taught you about commitment and accountability in yourself or your life?
Do you know what? I have never thought of myself as someone that's capable. I've never really liked myself. I've never really thought of myself as being able to do anything that's extraordinary. And like, it's not that I don't think that this is extraordinary, but it's just the first time that I've committed myself to do anything. It's the first time that I've liked myself enough to stick to something. And this 10 minutes a day, which obviously differs when I'm doing things like marathon training, it's the only chance that I've had to say no to other people to put myself first. And honestly, it's just changed my life. It's just, whenever anything is expected of me at events, at family events, at work commitments, I'm just like, hang on, no, my 10 minutes comes first. That's when I do my best thinking. It's when I'm the most creative. Whenever people are like, don't you get injured, don't you hurt yourself? Well, no, because I'm not pushing myself at all. It's almost a fast walk. Like, it is literally to just get out of my head and into my body. That is the whole purpose. And I think like people are really extreme in their sport, like, and there's a place for that, but for me it really isn't. Like, I'm so nervous, I'm so tearful, and I'm so lonely a lot of the time, and this is just a small amount of time allocated to myself to celebrate my capability and to like get out of my head. It just works so well for me, and I'm not telling anyone else to do it. It works so well for me.
Yeah. It's like daily proof.
Exactly.
That you can do something.
Exactly.
That's what I like to start my day with, my run, because if I do something really hard at the beginning of the day, everything else kind of doesn't feel as hard after that.
So exactly.
I prove to myself that, like, this morning I was dally-dallying around, just really like, I had to run quite early in order to get it done before work, before coming here. And I was like faffing about with Cowboy, putting it off, really didn't feel like it. As soon as I got out, I had the best run of my life this morning, but I was putting it off, got out there, came home. I was like, oh my God, I create my reality, immediately feeling better. And keeping promises to yourself, is something I think you almost have to like build that muscle of doing.
Oh, for sure. And accepting that it's hard for everyone to start. Like, it's hard for yourself to start, but getting it done early, first thing.
Yeah.
Not giving yourself the choice.
Yeah. That's the big thing. Not giving yourself the choice to Yeah, it's like it's almost like going sober or becoming vegetarian, like putting putting a label on it if it helps you, just being like, I am a runner. This is what I do every day.
That's what 10 minutes did for me. Like, just because I used to find that before I had my run streak, which is why I think at some point I'd probably rebrand to a movement streak. Like if I was to get pregnant or something, committing to myself for that 10 minutes a day is the least difficult I found it to get outside and move. Because before I did this, before I did a run streak, I'd get to the end of the workday and it'd be 9 p.m. and I still wouldn't have got my run done. I still wouldn't have worked out. And I'm like, I'd think about it for another 2 hours and then it'd be bedtime. And then I'd feel sick and nervous that I hadn't done it. Whereas now I'm just like, just 10 minutes, just get it done, just tick it off, just do it. And it's weird because it literally, I know we said this on the last podcast, but it genuinely just feels like brushing my teeth. Just got to do it. Like, I hate brushing my teeth. Just got to do it.
Yep. And it adds up. And I think if you look at your career over the last year or 2 years, obviously your life has completely changed.
Yeah, completely.
Completely. But I would, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would credit a lot of that momentum to the momentum caused by your run streak.
Yeah, of course.
Because
yeah.
you've literally, like, in your brain created new pathways that say, I am consistent, I am good at something, and I can try doing things every day. And even if they're kind of shitty, I'll do it anyway. Like, we were just talking about this with any creative person or anyone who's trying to do something new. Sometimes the best thing you can do is do it every day, even if one of those days is really shit. Because one day there'll be something brilliant, man.
Exactly.
And it could be like a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, but one day there'll be something brilliant. And the other days are going to be a bit shitty. People might laugh at you. Oh, dear.
Exactly. But the law of averages mean that at some point it's going to do okay, right?
There'll be something in there.
Exactly.
So I think that's, it's beautiful to see how that momentum has happened for you throughout your running streak and how that's kind of put into like other places of your life. And you're a high performer. What can I say? You're a high achiever. You ever heard that before?
Never.
I remember the first time. I can't even remember if someone interviewing me or some conversation I was having, and someone referred to me as an athlete and a high achiever, and I just started crying because I was
one's ever said that before.
No one's ever called me a high achiever or an athlete, let alone in the same sentence. And I was like, you need to just take a moment. Because I am a little emo kid, very scared in the corner of class being told off for being disruptive. Looking back at your running streak, can you remember or can you pinpoint a run that was like maybe the best run and a run that was maybe the worst run? Does any of them stick out for you?
The worst run. I mean, there's fucking bad runs every week. There's probably like three quarters of every week that's fucking awful. I've had, I think we've spoken about this before. I've always had quite bad panic attacks. Mm. And there's been a couple of runs that I've been on that I've had to stop a couple kilometers in and just like been on the floor like crying. Mm-hmm. They've been like really hard to push through. Oh, no, I didn't push through. I just stopped and came the fuck back home. Like to be honest, every week has some really, really tough runs. And some of the best ones are the ones that literally I just don't want to go on. And then I get to the end and I'm like, hot damn, I'm a strong little bitch. Like, there's no one huge one that stands out. Just every week I'm just so baffled that I made it through another week. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm such a beast.
Because, like, I have certain runs in my mind when I think about running that I remember. And they're not necessarily, none of them are races. None of them are big distances.
No.
But they're runs, like, there's a run I remember in Scotland so vividly because I hadn't been back to Scotland. My family are from Scotland. And I hadn't been back since the beginning of lockdown. So I went before lockdown happened, before COVID. We took a trip to Scotland to see my family. And this was before I started like running or any of my fitness journey. And I remember my family lives at the top of a hill, and I had walked to the bottom of the hill in a pair of trainers, which I hadn't worn trainers in like such a long time. And I said to myself, I'm going to try and run along the coast towards Broughty Ferry Castle, which is a really beautiful run. But I hadn't seen it in so many years because every time I'd been to Scotland, I had just either been drinking alone in my room or hiding food and just not wanting to be around my family, and certainly wasn't going outside. So I just remember saying, like, I'm just going to try and do this thing where I like go and I try and run. And I couldn't run for like 3 seconds at all. And I remember sitting on a bench on the side of the shore and just crying and being like, why can't my body do this? Like, why not? And then on the train home, I had a moment where I was like, it's kind of now or never. Like, you can try to do this thing now. And then we went back last May and I ran, I think it was an 8K along the coast, along the bench, past the bench. And I was just like, this run I'll remember forever because it's such a full circle moment. And it mm-hmm. wasn't an extraordinary run. It wasn't very fast. It wasn't very far. But it was in that moment that I realized just how far I'd come, you know.
And consistency will do that.
Consistency will do that. Yeah. But you must have moments like that where you're like you're running, we'll talk about your challenges in a minute, but you're running the LA marathon. I mean, that, first of all, you're going to LA.
That's baffling, like considering where I was last year. I'm so happy to share what I'm doing, what we're achieving. So I'm like, everyone fucking jump on this bandwagon. Look what you can achieve. Like, jump in this industry. Like, there's so much space for everyone. But like, sick, a brand's taking me to run the LA marathon. And that just feels insane.
It's
but like,
so cool.
I think you'll really understand this when you're someone that has, like, I feel so gross saying the word anxiety, but like, when you're someone that feels nervous, a lot of the weeks just blur into one and I don't really remember them.
Something I've learned recently is that we're constantly looking for things in our present that validate the way that our trauma made us feel in our past. Okay, so let's take your success or my success recently. I won't go into like things necessarily that happened to me, but stuff happened to me when I was younger that now I feel incredibly guilty for this success. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's going to be taken away from me, or that someone's going to, I don't know, something bad is going to constantly happen. So I keep looking for markers and I keep trying to find things that will point towards this isn't good, or you aren't good, mm-hmm. and you don't deserve this, because that's what my past is trying to inform me of. And it can be really difficult to unlearn that behavior and actually live. And sometimes I'll meet people who, and I never generalize with people's mental health or what they've been through because I don't know. But if I have had conversations with people who will admit to being neurotypical and had a great childhood, and they're so present and like, just like, okay, I'll just do that. And I'm like, oh, you're not having like a 20 minute conversation with yourself in your head before you go to the coffee shop? Yeah. Really? Okay, fine. But I also think, and I've started saying this to myself too, that piece is accessible for me as well, and I will get there. A lot of it is about admitting that you want to feel okay, and that you will allow space in your life to do the work to change the way you think about yourself or the way you feel about yourself.
It's weird though, isn't it? Because sometimes, like, I want to not feel this sickness every day, but sometimes that sickness, I worry, is what makes me kind. And without that sickness, would I actually just be an evil person that wasn't empathetic in any way? I don't know. So
I understand where you're coming from, like, because you've been hurt. You never want anyone else to be hurt like you felt. I think anyone who's been through anything, I think they walk through the life with such empathy, and you're almost like treading on eggshells around everyone because you never want to upset anyone or make anyone feel bad. And the worst part about that is, because you are so pure of heart and sensitive, things hurt you. Because your intentions are always good. And let me tell you, I know, because you'll text me and be like, can I do this thing that's really nice and kind? I feel quite bad. And I'm like, yeah, it's really nice and kind. you're a good person, Savannah. You're allowed to like do this nice thing.
It feels really nice for you to hear you say I'm a good person. Like, I feel like that's not what I tell myself.
You're an amazing person. Yeah. You're very rare. Anyone listening, if you need to hear this today, you're a good person.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what I would say to you if I met you. Like, I'd be like, sis, you're fine. You're good.
You're nice.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what we go through when we grow up, or a lot of what we see online, informs our self-image. And a lot of people feel very wretched about themselves every day. And having these kind of conversations where we all just admit it together and we're like, I feel quite shit quite a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Is the first step in taking change. Also, I will add, rewiring and getting to a place where you start to feel good will feel bad at first. And I use the analogy a lot with clients and on this podcast of, if you're standing in front of a jungle, the road that you're going to go down is the one that you've walked a million times because it's clear. You're not going to pull out a machete and start busting your way through the vines because that feels really unsafe and scary. But that's the good thought and that's the bad one. So you're going to have to get the knife out and start slashing away and being like, when you hear those thoughts about yourself, or you're not feeling happy in your life, or you're being mean to yourself, actually meeting it with, no, I'm a good person. I can do this. It's okay. You know, it's hard.
It is. And I think also at our age, and to be honest, maybe not even our age, maybe everyone faces this, like, we're all so isolated by like the path that we're on.
Yeah.
So you can't even communicate it with the people around you, and you don't want to complain, and you just, I feel like there must be so many women in their 30s that just like, shit, I've eaten a shit pie with this. Like, I don't know what route to take. I don't know who to talk to. Like, this friend is married. This friend is pregnant. This friend is a millionaire. This friend is like, who's going to be able to empathize with what I'm feeling? But like, and you just are convinced that everyone's so happy. But yeah, maybe none of us are. Maybe we're all struggling.
I think we all are, I think, to an extent. Certainly, I think a lot of what human beings do to preserve themselves is a lot of smoke and mirrors with other people, or at least just for themselves as well, being like, everything's fine, it's great, and I've got it all under control.
Human mind is so interesting, isn't it?
Do you have any reflections on your 20s, or is there anything that you're bringing, like any mindset shifts or anything you've experienced that feels different? Because I'll say,
yeah,
I don't feel very different.
Oh my god, I was gonna say the same thing. Okay, life didn't end at 30. If anything, I feel better. I feel like I just
feel
woke
relieved.
Up. Yeah, everything's gonna be okay. Like, I'm exactly the same. Like, if anything, I was so anxious about turning 30. I was so worried about all these pressures, and now I'm just 30 and I'm just like, oh, the whole world is still open and available to me, and I still have all these opportunities, and everything's going to be fine, and age means nothing. And if anything, I'd rather be hot at 30. Like, I'd rather be hot at 50. Like, fuck, I feel like my whole life's ahead of me now. Yeah. Like,
it's a funny one, because I turned 30 and I didn't ever think about it again. I was like,
yeah, we put so much pressure on, like, shit, we got to do all these things before 30. And then we turned 30, we just never spoke about it.
But now, like, I'm just super excited for my 30s. And weirdly, 40, I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, same.
I'm like, yeah, that feels like very exciting. Because I just think the older you get, the less of a shit you give about other people's opinions. And you just kind of become more and more your beautiful, weird self.
Weirdly, I feel... really, so when we were 28, 29, we would talk more about 30-year-olds. I feel regretful for the 50-year-olds that were listening and the 60-year-olds, because they are so young and so capable. Like, my mum is 60, her deadlift's like 120 kilos. I'm just like, go off, mum. Like, she is so young and she acts so young and she's mentally incredible. And I'm just like, I now feel so regretful that we brought so much light to age, where like, it literally just means nothing. Like, you are as young as you feel, you are as capable as you feel. And like, I just think we're just going to keep getting more phenomenal with age.
Definitely. Yeah. And weirder, which is just the best.
Amen.
That's just the best part. Like, I remember, like, well, the people that I look up to the most, or people that have affected me in great ways, have always been older. Elderly, I would say. Like, Joe's grandma, she's just an icon. Mm. And she doesn't give a shit, man. She's just her. And it's so, I think that's the thing about humans, and what is so attractive about humans is when you can tell when someone is so themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you can really see, like, your energy is just so solidified in yourself. And I think with elderly people, you just begin to see that the layers of what other people think you should be doing or saying fall away, because there aren't so many, there are no beauty standards, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so freeing. It's like, you get childhood and then you get childhood.
Yeah.
You're like a child on either side. It's just wonderful to see. So I look forward to it. I think my 40s are going to be my ultra marathon era.
You and me both, sis.
Yeah, dude. People always say, like, oh, what are you going to do when you turn 40? You can't run anymore. And I'm like, I'm retiring into ultra marathons.
Don't put your own limitations on me. No. Like, I will be just fine.
When I was living in my 20s, most especially my party girl era, I just thought I'd die when I got to 30. It'd be over.
Yeah.
And now it's like this whole new lifestyle's opened up.
But I also think that we're both fitness people. Yeah, we love running. We absolutely adore it, right? But say we get to the age of 40, 50, 60 and we can't do ultramarathons, we can't run anymore, we will just pivot. Like, we just want to be active. And like, yeah, running's trendy right now, but like, I don't care. Do you care? Like, I just want to move.
No.
We'll just move to the next sport. Do like a million pull-ups.
Yeah,
cool.
Exactly. I will be on a horse. But this is so true. And I think, you know, running makes me buzzy now. Mm-hmm. The minute it stops making me buzzy and happy, I'll stop.
Exactly.
Like, there is no, I have a great attachment to the way it makes me feel, but that feeling, I believe, is transient through different sports or activities.
We both love Muay Thai, right? And we both keep saying we're going to do lessons together. Like, the buzz I get from that is fucking unmatched. Like, we just pivot.
Do you know what I also love that I recently got into is Dungeons and Dragons, making my own Dungeons and Dragons characters. That gets me buzzing.
What gets me buzzing? I love beading. I like making my own earrings. Oh, finding good beads at Franklin's. Oh, so fun.
I'll pivot, babes. I'm pivoting to Dungeons and Dragons, fingers. And you will pivot to crafts.
Yeah.
We will retire together. But this is true. Like,
it's so fun.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be sport. And
just want to be active. Just want to move. Just want to try new things.
And find your flow. Find your happy. But speaking of ultras, do you want to talk us through your insane schedule over the next
okay, month? Cool. We're doing the LA Marathon, I think, on the second week of March. And then I'm out in LA with a brand for 10 days, effectively. And for that brand, I get it. All influencers do is travel, but like, I will be working. I'll be getting content, and like, I can't wait to show everyone.
It's so exciting.
I am so excited. And it's really cool because I get to take Steve with me, and it's not something that he has, like, either of us have ever experienced. And we will be with that brand. We'll be skiing, surfing, and hiking. Which again, big slay. How often do you see women of color doing any of those things? Like, so I will be showing the nitty gritty of it, and I cannot wait. And then on the 29th and 30th, I'll be running from LA to Vegas with five girls or six girls. We're doing the Speed Project, which I'm so scared for, but so excited.
Yeah.
And I think I've got Cass to sign up to maybe do it next year with me.
Yeah.
But that'll be sick. And then come back to the UK.
So Speed Project, just to give people a bit of an idea.
340 miles, so like 500 something kilometres.
500 and I think it's 80 kilometres.
Okay.
So insane. And it's a relay race, which means that there's a team of runners and a camper van or whatever van, whatever thing.
We drive alongside. So like, while each one's running, the rest of us are like driving slash sleeping in for 48 hours.
So one gets out, one gets in, one gets out, one gets in, eat, sleep, run, repeat.
No one sleeps. In our team, because it's so small, I don't think we'll be sleeping.
But these are the sort of challenges that I said I wanted to do next year. So it's LA to Vegas in a relay with other women over, you're going to do 5K at each at
probably
one time. Amazing.
Probably. And then I want to come back and me and Cass are going to run the London Marathon together.
We are. We're going to run the London Marathon. Yeah. I think we were just having a chat about this earlier. And for me, because I had such an awful time the last time I did that race, it will just, I really want this to be an opportunity just to like
have fun
and show people that marathons can be fun and non-competitive.
Exactly.
Because I think there is droves and droves of people running now, which is incredible, but also very intimidating. We have to remember running is accessible for people of all colors, sizes, shapes, ages, speeds, everything. So we're going to run it. I think we're just going to have fun. Hopefully meet some of you guys out there as well. Yeah.
Hopefully pull some of you through.
Yeah.
Have fun with me.
I'm so, see, that makes me so excited because that is for me what running is about.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, same. But because a lot of it, you know, this whole like racing and PBing thing, it's incredible. And I'm doing that at Paris and I'm so excited to show what I'm capable of. But that's a very singular experience. Mm. That's a very, you know, that's all about me. And while that's amazing, it's also nice to be there with the community and be there with a group of people and have fun, remind people that it can. Also, running can be silly. It's the silliest thing. We're just moving a bit fast.
Yeah. Literally.
And then someone made a sport.
You're walking twice.
Speaking of, do you have a goal for the LA Marathon?
I did. I did want to. But I haven't stuck to my training plan at all.
Cute.
I had a lot of life things. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I didn't prioritize it. Like, other things have come first. So I'm very happy if I don't hit my target this year. Like,
so by when you say, because I think this is something that a lot of people will resonate with, and it's something I've spoken about on the episode with Finn, was that I cannot commit to high mileage weeks. And we just spoke about this earlier. Like, if I do a 18K or even like a 12K, I am tired.
Yeah.
You know, for me, a nice run to energize me is like between 5 and 8. Then I'm energized and I'm like, here we go. Long runs are taxing.
Yeah.
I find it really hard. And if it's between, you know, my mental health and my career and, you know, keeping my team and everyone happy or doing a long run, I'm choosing my mental health and my career.
Of course.
And it's okay to not stick to your training plan if you can't.
We literally just said, we're like, although we do running, we're not running. We're not athletes for it. Like, we are content creators and that comes first. Yeah. And like, and Cass is a businesswoman as well. She's got business, like business podcasts, whatever. And like, that comes before mileage. And ultimately, like, it's been a fun work day. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's nothing like my old 9 to 5 was, but like, I was out my flat at 7:30 this morning, right? I'm not going to get home till probably 8 or 9 this evening. I have 7K to do today. Mm. Probably not going to do that. Mm. Like, probably not. And that's fine. Like, I'm glad I prioritize work today. Like,
yeah. It's also like, I know that we talk about ultras and this is so ultras and marathons, and that is really far. 5K is really far.
Yeah.
Sometimes in my brain, it feels as far as a marathon some days.
Of course. Like, yeah. 7K sounds like the world to me today. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. Like, yeah. Can't do it. Haven't got the capacity
tiring.
To.
Yeah. So on the days that, you know, if someone's out there and they're finding it hard to stick to their plan, whatever plan they've been given, I'd say you're always better to bend instead of break. Like, if you have to bring
it's
mileage
better
down.
Better to be undertrained than overtrained. Better Thank to be you. Slightly undertrained than slightly overtrained. Like, you yeah. don't get any extra fitness from from killing yourself and overtraining.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how I've managed to make sort of progress in my fitness recently. Because I really reached a plateau. Mm. Because I was refusing to do a couple of things as soon as I started to rest more, proper rest, as in full days of rest, more sleep and more food. That is such a big one.
Of course.
Here we go. She got fast.
It's this all or nothing ideology, right? And yeah. I think actually that's people always get so shocked that I've like very incrementally improved, because actually like I sometimes stick to my plan. Sometimes I do 10 minutes a day. And when I can't do that 7K, I'm still doing one. And that tiny one, it does compound and does keep me in decent shape. Mm-hmm. So like, just do 10 minutes if you can. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to do the full 30K, mm-hmm. the full 18K, the full 10K. Just do like a tiny bit if you can. Mm-hmm. It's enough. Just be consistent.
And you'll get there. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's just also about being kind to yourself within your training. Oh, like, God, I think a lot of people... And I get it, because a lot of the big speakers and big voices that we have nowadays are people like Goggins and various other people of that ilk. Love him, by the way, but sometimes that's kind of like toxic motivation, I'd say.
Of course.
You know, that kind of like barking at yourself in the mirror until you go and you run 20K in the dark with your shirt off in the rain. It's like, fine. Or you could just like, go to bed and have a rest and try again tomorrow. It's okay. You know, it's knowing when to push and when to be like, right, I need to go to bed.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person that can show up for you, for my family, for my career over getting in the long run done. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, social media and motivational people are incredible, but like, do I care more about Steve thinking I'm a good girlfriend, or do I care more about marathon time? And like,
yeah.
just... pick, neither's worse than the other, by the way. If if one's a bigger deal than the other, then that's great, but just come on, cop yourself on, like, you know what's better for you.
I had this, like, I run with Cowboy a lot because I'm doing Canicross, which is like running with your dog.
And that looks really cool, by the way.
We invented a race in September, but the training is very different because it requires a lot of stopping and starting to pee and poo. Him, not me, sometimes
yeah,
but yeah, it's like, it's very random training, and it's not at all like productive running. But I love it. And Cowboy gets time with his mum.
Yeah. And well, it's not productive in terms of time, but it is in terms of time with your animal.
In terms of times with like Cowboy and feeling good about my life and taking the pressure off and like
and memories. And
we can't run far, we can't run fast, but it makes me feel happier than running far and fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about, like, not everyone's an athlete. Maybe take the pressure off yourself a little bit.
Also, redefine your performance markers. Is it time, or is it consistent fitness? Is it being able to get your shopping without getting out of breath? Is it about like being able to show up for birthday parties and feeling good and confident about yourself? Like, every performance marker doesn't have to be a time.
I think one of the top reasons why people are put into care homes later on in life is because they can't get off the toilet. I mean, they can't do a single, like, what is that? That's a squat, a body weight squat. They can't do it because they've neglected their fitness.
That's like, terrifying.
That's another reason why, and so many people see it as aesthetic performance. And yes, those two things are cool. They're great while we're young, whatever. I want to be able to get off the toilet when I'm older.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to run, because if I do ever have grandkids or whatever, maybe my friends have kids, whatever.
Yeah.
I want to be able to run and dance with them. I want to be able to be skiing in my 60s. You know, there's so much that I want to be doing. And I think that's another reason why coming back to your why is so important.
Exactly.
It's not really about a marathon time. You know, I just want to have control over my body for the rest of my life.
Well, when I think about it, like, I'm like, do I care about a marathon time for LA, or do I care about actually the fact that I get to go to LA? For me, the performance marker is actually that I'm getting to go there to LA with a brand, and a brand's bringing Steve out as well. Yeah. Like, I'm so like, I've exciting. Hit. I don't really care about the time at all. Like, I want to travel and I want to create my stupid little videos and make other people feel good about moving. Like, I don't care about marathon time.
Yeah.
100%.
I just get really excited about the medals, because medals for me represent a lot about what little Cassia didn't have. Mm-hmm. I never had an award, a trophy, a certificate, never won anything, you know?
And now you're getting there.
Now I'm having my medals. And I tell you, like, I did a Richmond Park half marathon in the summer, and it was just a wee wooden deer medal, and I just couldn't. I was just like inconsolable looking at this little piece of wood, which to other people means nothing. It's a piece of wood, but to me it represents everything I've done over the last few years.
Everything you didn't achieve when you were younger.
Yeah. And there I am with it. It's like the most beautiful thing in the world. And so for a lot of people, it's not about the time. It's about, you know, like, maybe it's not the marathon. I think the marathon is the training, right? Mm-hmm. The race is just the race, and the training is the marathon, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
Food for thought, people. Mm-hmm. But we'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Savannah, for coming on. Good luck,
friend,
with LA Marathon. Good luck with the Speed Project. I really wish I'd known, because I would have signed up for it. But yeah, next year. Next year,
done.
We'll do some really cool, really cool things. And we'll be running London together anyway, so that will be so fun.
Yeah, we'll see you guys out there.
So yeah, if you, we'll organise, I think we'll probably do like a shakeout run before London or something. We'll organise some community thing. And yeah, Savannah, where can people find you?
My Instagram is Savannah Sachdev, and my TikTok is Confused Indian Girl, because that do be me.
Love that so much. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening, for following me on Spotify, for bumping me off in the charts. It's always like so surreal that this is even happening. So thank you again for being here, and for your time and your energy and your willingness to change and make space for betterment in your life. I love you all very, very much. Keep the conversation going on Instagram. I love chatting to you all. DM Savannah, tell her that I sent you.
Hey guys, please.
And until next week, love you all.
Bye guys.